The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Tuesday happy hour. And Dom, it gets better right now. We got a fine guest. He's joining us live via stream. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney. And Jim, we got some legal storm clouds rolling through, my friend. Welcome back to the big show. Hasn't been long since we've had you come by.
Hey, Jim.
The latest news that has broken my heart and perhaps Dom's spirit, the sentencing of Donald J. Trump has been pushed back to September 18th, if ever. So this new immunity ruling, Jim, is this a get-out-of-jail-free card for even state charges?
It certainly should not be. And when I heard that the DA, I don't mean to second-guess a fellow prosecutor out there, but when I heard that Alvin Bragg was sending a letter to Judge Mershon saying, we don't object to this, I thought, really? This is the kind of thing that frankly, I think Judge Mershon, he's already decided that does not have an impact upon this state criminal prosecution, shouldn't suspend this. I suppose he's making a clean record again for the appeal so that when this goes up to the appellate court in New York, he can say, yes, I took briefs. Yes, I had oral argument on this. But again, the immunity decision, it comes out of the Supreme Court, as we well know. It relates to this federal case. It certainly does not address an immunity situation for a defendant in a state proceeding, a state criminal proceeding. I realize they're going to make the arguments that, yes, this is about a former president, conduct actually in that case before and then after he became president. But still, this is not a connection that makes any sense to me. And I'm disappointed, I will tell you, that Alvin Bragg didn't say, all right, let's schedule this on for a hearing right away. Make this a part of the sentencing hearing. Let's address this and move on the 11th, not to be done. So we'll wait a number of months yet before we hear what Judge Mershon does with Donald Trump.
You, sir, may be disappointed. I'm nearly apoplectic over here. Jim, let me point out the timing, sir, because you've often pointed out to us, you don't schedule these things rolling up into an election. So if September 18th is indeed the day of sentencing for defendant, 34-time convicted defendant, felonious defendant, Donald Trump, well, now what? If he even gets 2 months in jail, that keeps him in jail on election day. And as much as I would aspire to that, Jim, that seemingly is going to bring more cries of election interference from the right. This is a very dangerous predicament Judge Mershon's going to find himself in.
Right, and maybe I can assuage some of your concern, and that is but also increase your anxiety about this at the same time. Oh, it's a combined package.
Are you talking me off the ledge or pushing me off the ledge, Jim?
A little bit of both, believe it or not.
You're not going to be on the ledge after Jim Hayes' comment.
Right. So the answer is yes. Under normal circumstances, there may be many cases that criminal prosecutors handle where the defendant is detained immediately. You go off to Gray Bar Manor, as my former judge boss used to say. Here, in this case, highly likely that on the 18th, after the judge imposes sentence, and yes, I do think it should include some jail time. Doesn't have to be a huge amount, but there should be some time in detention. Even when he does that, highly likely he will grant a motion to stay the execution, so to speak, of that sentence pending appeal. And so highly unlikely that he will order Donald Trump to be taken away by the state marshals or the state law enforcement right away. Again, this will take months, if not years, before this particular appeal is completely resolved. And again, this is the portion where you get back to the edge once again, probably 2025, maybe 2026, before we can finally say all the appeals are exhausted here and Donald Trump should now go to jail based upon what Judge Merchan has ordered in September of 2024.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's our friend, James Santel. He's the former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus Law Review, broadcasting here on the Civic Media Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, I was thinking about you yesterday. I knew you were super busy with the Supreme Court stuff coming down, and lots of people wanted your opinion, so I appreciate you taking time for us today. With regard to this particular decision, yes, SEAL Team 6 can murder your political opponents.
And that's exactly, I commend, as I always do, the reading of legal documents, right? Take a look at what Sonia Sotomayor writes in her very compelling dissent. She basically says just that, talks about the fact that you can be immune from all of these things. And it is no longer just the hypothetical craziness that we talked about at the oral argument. She makes a very strong case that the implications of this, practical implications, what a sitting president, now king, as she and others have said, can do, are huge. And then you also get Ketanji Brown Jackson. I'll want to commend that to everybody's reading as well. She takes on the threat to democracy, and she makes a very compelling case about that, the disaster, the catastrophic disaster that is this decision coming out of the Supreme Court.
James Santel, our fine guest, Lawrence Tribe, a law professor of some renown, I believe Harvard, says this case will eventually be reversed. It will go down in history somewhere alongside Dred Scott. Jim, history's written by the winners. So how do you think history will judge this ruling?
I think it'll judge it very, very badly. But in the meantime, we're suffering through it. It is the law of the land today. As of 10 o'clock yesterday morning, it is going to be the law of the land until another Supreme Court that's got its head back on its neck, so to speak, decides to take this up again and says, no, indeed. And maybe, I don't ask for this. And certainly that's not what the dissenters are encouraging either. Maybe something truly, truly outrageously horrific we've already seen that, of course, but even more so has to happen before the Supreme Court comes back and says, no, we didn't anticipate that. We do need to take back this opinion. But you also have to have the right combination of justices on the Supreme Court. There are an awful lot of young people, if you will, relatively young on that court. And right now the numbers are simply not there. So it may well be a generation before this decision is reversed. Hope that it's much sooner than that, or at least maybe their lower court judges and others in the judicial system who regard it as the piece of judicial craziness that it truly is. Not to get hyperbolic about it, but I've thought a lot about this. This is the single most important decision of our lifetime. I recognize that abortion is significant, privacy rights, voting rights, environment, education, all those kinds of things. This changes the Constitution of the United States of America. This says that a president, once again, is not subject to the checks and balances that James Madison put in place. And all of those people out there who are saying you should have your hair on fire right now are absolutely right. Lawrence Tribe, I think, is hopefully going to be true right a long term. But right now, Americans, frankly, should be in the streets, just like the Israelis did a number of years ago when Benjamin Netanyahu wanted to change his power base. They went out in the streets. They shut down the Tel Aviv airport. They shut down other institutions. Americans need to understand the threat that this is. Read what those dissenters have written. Read what others are talking about here and recognize that, again, whether it's in 200 days or many days after that, you could have a president who can act as he chooses to act, not on behalf of America, but on behalf of his or her own interests. That is not America. And we need to face the fact that we have been served up an opinion that is beyond catastrophic. It is arguably, as Sonia Sotomayor says, the beginning of the end of this nation.
James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, Chief Justice John Roberts, Jim, he says, don't worry about it. His quote, their concerns, the dissenters' concerns, you know, all those ladies that's acting right. All hysterical, don't you know, Jim? You know, they're emotional. They're crazy. He says, quote, a tone of chilling doom that is wholly disproportionate to what the court actually does today. Setting aside the misogyny, he says this is disproportionate. Do you disagree, sir?
Absolutely disagree. And again, it's tough to set aside that misogyny, because to put a fine point on that, he's basically saying, ladies, calm down. How offensive is that to everyone, men and women alike in this country, that we should read this and say, oh, but it's not a big deal. And you are just overreacting to all of this. Again, that is not an inappropriate reaction to what the Supreme Court has done here. There are some very, very compelling arguments, as I said, by Ketanji Brown Jackson, that this is even more than Donald Trump. It's even more than these prosecutions. It is about our future. And under those circumstances, their responses and the response of other people, including on this program, are not at all disproportionate when we talk about the future of our nation. 248 years we celebrate, an anniversary in just a couple of days. Most civilizations last about 248 years, that is, 320 years. We're getting up there, right? And this could well be the thing that begins to push us in that direction.
Jim, the effort by Donald Trump through his actions with the DOJ apparently would now be considered an official act. If a sitting president loses an election, wants to create a fraudulent environment to, you know, overturn the election, am I understanding this properly? Roberts and the majority saying, yeah, he can do it, and not only can they do it, you can't ask about it.
Right. And both of those things, let's take the first one up right now. This is the one that really offends me. As to engagement with the Department of Justice, there is absolute immunity. No question about that. He's telling Tanya Chutkan, stay away from this. And again, to put a real fine point on it, Richard Nixon is calling. He wants his presidency back, because this is exactly what Richard Nixon did to get in trouble. And now the Supreme Court has said that what happened in 1972 and 3 and 4, that's okay, and it is sanctioned under our Constitution. Outrageous.
Our fine guest, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney. Jim, want to come back and talk about perhaps expanding the courts. More devils.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review here on the Civic Media Network, Saturdays, 9 to 11, sticking around. Go ahead, Curdy.
Jim, the audience, they're finding all sorts of ways to connect with us today. Someone just tweeted at us, at Devil Radio. Please ask Jim Santel, your fine guest, the question, is there a legislative solution? You know, we've talked about the fact Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Could legislators go back and codify Roe v. Wade, effectively overturn the opinion of the court through legislation? In this case, Jim, can presidential immunity be overturned through legislation?
Yeah, it's a fascinating issue, isn't it? Because we always talk about fixes for Supreme Court decisions that are out there when it comes to the voting rights cases. Certainly, again, Dobbs, we talk about legislative fixes all the time. I suspect that there are good people like Sheldon Whitehouse and others in the United States Senate who are pondering those kinds of things right now. There are aspects of this that plainly could be fixed, and we talked about some of the evidentiary problems already. The issue of whether or not there is immunity, as I read this opinion, is not grounded in the Constitution. So this is not a matter of having to say, well, gee, we'd have to overrule the Constitution. They're talking about application of these statutes under which Donald Trump has been indicted and saying under these circumstances, he would have immunity. If, in fact, the majority of both houses of Congress and the president sign off on some legislation that basically says that there is no presidential immunity under these statutes or other similar crimes, again, would that be challenged in the courts? Sure, it would be. But it makes a fascinating argument about what you need to do to respond to this, because it does, again, it now calls upon all of us to think in ways that we never had to think before, to remedy what is, again, a completely unfounded opinion. Again, the fact that it is premised, again, on these statutes and is not, as I see it, a derivation. Although he talks a lot about the purposes of the presidency and the integrity of it, wants to be aggressive and wants to, and so you get that argument in the opposite direction. This is indeed a constitutional case. That's why lawyers are busy all the time. And it certainly is the kind of thing that we need to be thinking about if indeed we want to preserve our democracy.
I want to think about preserving democracy. It just should preserve. Jim, the expansion of the court. I think back in like late 2021, Senator Elizabeth Warren threw something out there. Article 3, Section 1, saying Congress can expand the court. It's been done 7 times in the past. As recently as today, AOC says she wants to start, you know, filing articles of impeachment against some of these justices. So I want your comments on both of those. And number three, for my three-parter, Jim, is there anything in the newly expanded executive powers that's provided by this ruling on the Supreme Court that the current president, Joe Biden, could use against the U.S. Supreme Court?
Right. Lots of different thoughts there. So remedies for this generally. You may recall as well that the current president commissioned a group early on during his term to look at this issue, and they came back with what I think is a fairly milquetoast report, basically said, yes, you can expand the court. You can do that legislatively. Again, to follow up on your previous listener's comment, that you can do. You can increase the number of justices. You have to have both houses of Congress. You have to have the president signing off on it. And as you just said, that has been done. Does not take a constitutional amendment to accomplish that at all. Other things, of course, you've got AOC, as you say, initiating impeachment proceedings. There again, you need a majority of the House of Representatives, just a majority, plain majority, to return articles of impeachment. Are they there? As I've argued with Alito and Thomas as well, in terms of their cynicism, their contempt for the basic trappings of the justice system, I think so. You'd also have to get, of course, 2/3 of the Senate to agree with you on that. That is a bridge that's maybe not too far, but is more than challenging right now. And then your third point, just about things inside this order that Joe Biden could use. You know, an awful lot of people are now saying, hey, this order is now the law of the land. Joe Biden, it is now King Joseph Biden. And again, not he has basically said, listen, I'm not going to go out and do any of those things that are suggested by other people. But can you go back to Richard Nixon? Richard Nixon, again, did things like impounding budget amounts, basically telling the Congress, I'm not following what you're doing. I'm going to use these monies in different ways. You know, if Joe Biden, if he does lose this election between November and January and wants to give support for our friends in Ukraine, wants to do some things to support education relief, environment, all those kinds of things, civic issues, civil rights issues, human rights issues. I'm not certain that will taint his reputation long term. Criminal acts of the sort that we would not want him to contemplate plainly would, but do other things, because now you've been basically given by this Supreme Court an awful lot of leeway, especially when it comes to telling, again, your Department of Justice, I want you to do this, and you're completely immune from criminal prosecution, arguably other prosecutions as well. I think there's some options there that they need to explore.
James Antel, before we run out of your time, sir, I've heard it said before, you and what army? If Joe Biden were to completely disregard the future Supreme Court rulings, couldn't he use the you and what army logic? I mean, they've given him immunity from their own rulings to check and balance him, have they not, sir?
Right. We always are amazed at the fact that the Supreme Court's power is based upon the fact that they publish a document and all of us follow it, right? We've never tested that before, but once again, maybe as we are coming arguably to the end of this thing called the United States of America, there needs to be some recognition that this is no longer a valid part of our government. And they have so corrupted the fundamental trappings of our Constitution that now it frees up a president to do what he needs to do to enforce the law as he sees it. Those are wild words, I must tell you. On the other hand, read what the Supreme Court has said and ask yourself if they are not articulating some wild things about what the future of this country is all about.
Jim, when are you joining us to march in the streets? Hashtag will be wild.
Right. We follow the Israelis in responding to things that their government are doing that they do not support. And again, there are other reference points out there in the contemporary world politics where people don't sit by and do this. Will we sit by and let this happen in America? That's the question as we go into the 4th of July holiday.
You heard Jim Santel, folks. General strike. More Devil's Advocates. Thank you, Jim. We'll
Thank
tune
you,
in
Jim.
To your big show, Amicacy Law Review, Saturday morning, 9 to 11.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday afternoon, a happy hour, getting funky, rolling through it. Thank you to our most recent guest, James Santel, a fine attorney at law, former U.S. attorney, and the host of Amicacy Law Review, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Check your local civic media station listings. Thank you, Jim. Dom, I understand lots of people have opinions today. So are we getting to the lines? 844-967-2789, or you ranting first?
Man, I want to hear other people ranting, man. I can't get out of my own head, so let's hear what other people have to say. Once again, 844-96-PARTY. That's the political party line. Talk or text. We will start out with Peggy from Wisconsin. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates. Peggy, what do you got for us?
Hey, Peggy.
Hi. No, hey, actually, there. I'm a first-time caller, new listener. My name is Heidi with an H.
Oh, thank you, Heidi. Well, thanks for calling. My apologies.
Awesome. Not a problem.
Welcome. I blame Rich.
Hi, Dom.
What do you got?
George? I am passionate about the Supreme Court justices. There should never be more than seven, and it should always be an odd number. There must be term limits, and that will get new people elected. Like, it won't be so comfortable and so political, and maybe we'll get some newer blood, and it'll change organically. You know, like our beautiful, great country is a fluid country. I was kind of offended this last half hour about the other guy. Because this is a great country, and it's not. That's supposed to be what it was. It's supposed to grow into what it's supposed to be.
Well, it's an ever-evolving country, and we got to fight like hell each and every year if we want to preserve that democracy, right?
But I would say
you got to be careful about electing Supreme Court justices. That is the model we have here in the state of Wisconsin, and it has become so partisan. And now the court gets so ideologically flipped anytime there's a single change in a Supreme Court justice. I mean, as terrible as it feels to be on the short side of this 6-3.
What if there were term limits? You know, because isn't like even a presidency a term limit? And that keeps it, you know, from becoming too powerful?
Well, historically, that's been the case, Heidi. We'll see if Donald Trump wins, if he'll abide by the term limits.
Well, I mean,
oh, he's an old man.
No, not for presidency, for the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That's a lifetime thing. Make it so it's not. Create that. You know, now, that would be a whole new way of doing it, because then there'd be new people every 8 years and it's an odd number, so you couldn't, you know, have all one kind.
What do you think of the concept, Heidi, that if you do a term limit, that you subject them to what, either being reappointed or reelected, and therefore they're subject to the whims of, you know, the politicians that might be in charge at the time to, you know, keep their job. Does that concern you at all?
It does, but it shouldn't, because if you are a good Supreme Court justice, you're supposed to be impartial. You're not supposed to be taking the bribes and doing that shady crap. Right?
Well, yeah, it's absolutely, Heidi.
In an ideal world. Clean, Heidi. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
My first time calling, but I passed you guys. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, first time. It's like you're a pro, awesome. Heidi. Please.
Well done, Heidi.
Call. Continue to listen. We appreciate your perspective. 844-967-2789. You know, we talk about expanding the court through, you know, legislation in the House and the Senate and whatever, and as mentioned with Jim Santel, and referencing Elizabeth Warren's effort from her comments from 2021, you know, certainly, you know, reducing the court as well. But I'm not clear how that would pan out, at least if we expand the court and there's a Democratic president, you know, he gets to appoint. Now, but it depends on the circumstances, right? I mean, yeah, good luck getting Garland in, right? That didn't work out too well. So, you know, the politics of it all, that never goes away. And, you know, philosophically, Heidi, absolutely. Yes, of course, people, especially standing in judgment, should be a nonpartisan position. But when you have documented millions of dollars being given in gifts and trade or what, you know, travel to Supreme Court justices, that doesn't seem to me.
I prefer to call those bribes, Dom. They're bribes. Let's use Heidi's example just for a minute. What if we shave two off the top? Start with Thomas and Alito. You know what? This still would have been a 4-3 decision, making what, the president the king and immune from all prosecution.
Well, eight, Coney four, Barrett four, went on nine, the one six, side of it on one of them. Two, but seven, yes, eight, I get nine. Your point. Let's keep going on.
Well,
the line.
The one she was on is was the part about you couldn't include any conversation, right? You couldn't look at the motive. Even Coney Barrett's like, wow, that seems completely unreasonable. And the other five said, hell yes, we will.
Sign me up. Rocky, you are next from Madison. Welcome, Rocky. What do you got for us?
Hi. I want to thank you for your humor, wit, and information.
And I'd like to know, man. You're welcome. Thank you for listening.
I was wondering, how can I listen to Earl tomorrow between 8 and 10 when I tune in your channel like I do now? It's normally Stephanie Miller at that time.
Well, here's the kicker, and I've got a little bit of an insight. The presidential interview that Earl will perform tomorrow will not fall during his live show. So,
okay.
I suspect Earl is going to have to use the interview later. So I will promise you this. If you tune in Friday when Joe Biden is in Madison, we will incorporate Earl's exclusive interview with Joe Biden in the Devil's Advocates. That's the best promise I can give you, because I'm not sure if Earl's coming in on the 4th of July so he can play out the presidential interview. It may be Friday, I don't know. But we will play that interview, so if you tune in here on Friday, you'll hear it.
And Rocky, you know, your best bet, if there's some shows out there that, yeah, if there's some shows out there that you want to hear, you don't get to on the broadcast, the Civic Media app is super cool. It's super easy to use. You can download it. You can punch on any one of the stations, multiple stations across the state of Wisconsin, and get any of those live shows from the app. So that's your best bet from that perspective.
But how do I actually listen to Earl in the morning between 8 and 10? What, like, is it in Waukesha or Madison, or where is that?
He's at 5:40 a.m., sir.
Yeah, WAUK.
The Beast of the East. If you're in the right position, you can. Yes, sir. You can actually hear that on the radio dial in many of our markets. It's a very expansive signal, but 8 to 10 a.m. And try it on the app if you can't hear it on your radio dial.
Well, you guys are like breath of fresh air. Excellent. Every time I hear you. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, Rocky. Appreciate it. Keep listening, man. Keep dialing us up. 844-967-2789.
That's because you can't smell me, Rocky. I'm up at the cabin right now. And let me tell you one quick diversionary story, because we've been pretty serious about the politics. You know my beloved Jordan Love boat, Dom? Yes, I've been leaving it parked at the dock each and every night.
Your 1976 16-foot boat. How long is that?
Yes. I repainted it. It's very nice on the exterior, although it's starting to get roughed up a little bit because I keep tying it up to the pier. But whatever, that's not the point of this story. Here's the point, Rocky. Raccoons have been sneaking on my boat, eating fish, and then leaving behind their raccoon poop. Those little raccoons have been sticking it to me, Dom. They're sticking it to me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So when I heard Rocky, I thought Rocky Raccoon immediately.
I think of Rock from LaCrosse,
man. We can move on to
the
politics again.
844-967-2789. L.A. Tom, our buddy from the leftist coast. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. First off,
hey, Tom.
People truly ultimately are the government. And hey, pretty. And we must never forget that. We, the taxpayers, are the government. This just goes to show you money in politics. We have to get money out of politics. That's the bottom line. With this Supreme Court, it's going to be harder than crap. If we would have elected Hillary Clinton, probably would have Citizens United overturned by now. But people, we can't sit around, cry about who the candidate is or any of that kind of stuff. The candidate won the primary, and that's the bottom line. So that's the candidate that we actually are going with. And people just need to get out there and register to vote. They need to vote in Wisconsin. They need to vote no on the two propositions that you can't even understand. And also, when it comes to registering to vote, make sure you check your registration. And Rocky, I live all the way out here in Southern California, being a Wisconsin native. And all I do is go and download the app, or you can go to domandcrute.com or cruteanddom.com or thebestradioshowever.com. And you can actually, listen to the radio stations that Civic Media gives you all around the state of Wisconsin, either in Waukesha or in Madison. I can't remember what it is. Mike, I don't know what it is. So we just need to get our butts out there. Joe Biden is fine. He had a crappy debate.
Tom, let's go there for a minute. Let me respond, if I may, my dear friend. Number one, it's not just the taxpayers, because if you're a citizen of this country and you don't pay any taxes, you still get to vote. So it's not just the taxpayer, landowner, white men that get to vote. I know you know this. Number two, if Joe Biden's poor debate performance was indicative of a trend that perhaps we are not aware of, does that change your perspective at all?
Honestly, I don't know why all the people that have been these pronosticators and all this kind of stuff and throwing shade Joe's way, why the hell don't they bring up his doctor? Talk to a doctor, not a doctor on TV, but his actual doctor, and tell us if he's got a problem or whatever it might be. I don't think he has a problem at all. I think he has a stuttering issue. I think he had 35 lies that came at him, and he basically has to defend the lies plus try to show what policies he's going to put forth. I mean, Donald Trump is so horrible that he could not even name a policy of his that actually went through, besides maybe the border crap because of the fact that there was the COVID. Otherwise, he used all of Joe Biden and Barack Obama's policies and said that they were his policies. This guy is a joke.
There's no question. But I'm not asking about Donald Trump. I know he's a diminished human being. I know he has mental issues. I know he's a narcissist, fascist. I know it would be a disaster if he got into the presidency given the new powers bestowed upon him by this corrupted Supreme Court. My question specifically is, Tom, if that what we saw from Joe was the first time I've seen him like that. You know what I'm saying? And I've got an elderly mother who's got some of these kinds of issues. If Joe is having these kinds of, I call them breakdowns, but pauses, brain farts, whatever you want to call them, over the last couple of years, and we were not informed of them, we're not aware of them, does that change your perspective at all?
Dom, he won the primary, fair and square. And also, if Joe Biden is Weekend at Bernie's, I am voting. I am getting everybody out to vote for him. I don't give a crap because, you know, it's about policies. And it's about the Democratic policies that are the FDR policies that we need to move for the working people of this country. Again, I would ask somebody, please bring his doctor up. Why don't they bring up? Everyone keeps online to be a, you know, say what it is. I mean, Barack Obama had a horrible first debate. And then also Joe Biden 2 years ago kind of did that same thing where he was doing an interview. I remember it was on Earl's show when he was on in the afternoon. And we're like, oh, my God, this guy's not going to make it. I think that might have been before the election.
Yeah, I think what? I recall that. Yeah, no, you're right.
This guy surprises you, and he is someone that has actually brought actual policy. And
all right, real quick, Tom. I mean, yes, I totally concur. Real quick, in the last 30 seconds, if Joe Biden would decide that he, as he said to us, if I couldn't do it, I wouldn't do the job. If he makes that conclusion that he couldn't do it, who would you like to see?
Bernie Sanders.
All right, man, we're gonna leave.
Smart man, LA go. Tom.
We are the Devil's Advocates.
Devil's Advocates.
7-9
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
Somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. And one day his woman ran off with another guy, hit young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, I'm gonna get that boy. So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. What a hell of a day it has been. We appreciate you hanging out with us in the political party. You can take your calls right now, 844-967-2789, after crudy comments.
Dom, I just want to acknowledge a few of the texters. Jameson from Pennsylvania texted, and my question is, while I know that executive orders are limited in scope and can be overturned by the next sitting president, that doesn't matter. But for a large number that would be illegal, one only needs to issue an order. It's now official. It doesn't need approval. Insert Batman TV show graphic. Boom! Now I'm immune. Or am I wrong? Or don't we know yet? I'm not sure if you're wrong or we don't know, but Jim Santel certainly seemingly indicated that might be a direction Biden could test. And Cam says, the 4th of July ain't going to feel like the anniversary of our country. It'll be more like the anniversary date that passes after you've been freshly divorced. Tyler says,
you know, for some folks, though, divorce is a good thing. So I don't know if that's a great analogy, Cam, but I get what you're saying.
Tyler, listening up in the Rapids area, says, it is time to raise the upside-down cannabis tree flag, Dom, and appeal to the higher self. Llama for Madison, this ruling's like a bad credit card. They bought some bull crap, and we're going to have to pay it full with interest.
Ugh.
Dana's got some comments. Lots of people commenting. I love it when you join us either on the phones at 844-967-2789 or text in at that same number. Andrew from Maine asked, isn't Bernie Sanders 89 years old? I would say 89 years young.
Let's get to him. We got a speed round. We got a full deck here. Wisco, Paul, you are up. Happy days, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Great show today. The young lady that called in earlier, I would urge her to do it again because she was really good.
Heidi, and, yes.
She's very good. Very good caller. A couple of things. Biden is going on a Sunday show, which is a step in the right direction, and it can get through that. Everything will be okay. But I have one question for both of you. of course, it's kind of water over the dam, but don't you think if Garland would have originally got off the dime, this had already been completed and
yes.
The investigation.
Don't even get me started on that.
Oh,
weak
yeah,
attorney
man.
General. He's our Jeff Sessions.
Oh, no. Hey, thanks for the call, Paulie. Have a wonderful holiday week, man. We got to keep going. Lots of folks got something to say. Joe from the south side of Milwaukee. Welcome, Joe. What do you got?
Hello, fellas. I just wanted to – I have this feeling like we're in a waiting room and we're talking about small talk when the real matter is what we watched last week. And I know, Dom, you just talked your mother-in-law is having problems, and, you know, it's tough to have to put a parent or even worse.
My mother, yeah, going through those kinds of things. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to hear about that, but I think a lot of our listeners have somebody like that, you know, and I just have a feeling that, you know, we're kind of gaslighting ourselves right now, almost the same way the January 6th do, you know, the January 6th folks do, you know, oh, it was nothing, it's no big deal. We saw what we saw. I mean, it was terrible. And I woke up the morning after that and I'm like, wow, you know, like, you know, when it hits you the next day, like, what happened last night, you know? And I have a feeling, I have a prediction that Joe's going to leave. I really do. And really financially, the only person that can really take that job is going to be the vice president. So I'm really thinking that it's, you know, something's going to happen. We saw what we saw, man, you know, and I hate to tell everybody that. And, you know,
dude.
Joe will still be strong. I know, Joe, listen, Tom, and, you know.
We did see what we saw, and I don't think we're gaslighting ourselves, man. I appreciate you listening and contributing, man. But, you know, Kurt and I have been talking about this, and we have very specific ideas and thoughts, and I think, if anything else, we're being super honest about what we're feeling about it, and I appreciate you sharing your feelings, man.
Just so you know, according to Vox.com, a new CNN polling out, I believe it was earlier today, I had seen this, Kamala Harris, the vice president, does significant.
Oh, lost security. Kamala Harris does significantly better in the polling. All right, let's keep going. On the line, security, hold that thought. Ollie from Madison. Ollie, welcome. What do you got for us? Hello. You're on the air.
Hello.
All right, Greg from. Oh, here we go. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
I got a quick raccoon story to lighten the day a little. Pretty lucky that raccoon was in the boat. My son was camping, and they went out and shut the door of their SUV at night and went back in the tent. Woke up in the morning, and the raccoon had pooped all over, tore up the seats, ate all the food. So tell Crudy he's lucky that raccoon was outside.
Thank you, Allie. Greg, you will have the last 30 seconds from Madison. Welcome, Greg. What do you got?
I'm coming in late to the show here, but what I think the Republicans fear the most, and I think who should run, is Hillary Clinton.
Haven't heard that one yet, Greg. Hey, thank you for listening. Thanks for playing. We'll let that one, you know, float out in the ether. Thank you to James Santel, our good friend. Listen to his show on Saturdays, 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Network. Thank you, Crudy. Have a great weekend, man. Thank you, Rich, doing what you do. And thank you to our fair audience. Have a wonderful 4th of July week. I'm going to be out the rest of the week. Joe Biden coming to Madison, so Crudy might be doing a show. We'll see what happens. This one seems like it's going to matter most. Thank you for listening.